So I'm not going to do a big introduction. I just do want to mention that Pastor Nsiki, we often have regional meetings, and he joins in with us. He always smiles. He's always warm-hearted. And like Tien said, I must say, he's a very quietly spoken man, and I speak of his humility. He's not a man of 1,000 words, but when he speaks, oh. But maybe it's because you speak over the radio so much. Because he's a broadcaster for the Khoza radio station. So maybe your words are up during the day because you speak some. I don't know. But in any case, he's a very humble man. And I just want to honor you for that, Pastor Nsiki. I think if you want to introduce yourself a bit more, tell us. It's up to you. But we really receive you. We were looking forward to seeing you, and we prayed a lot into tonight. And you're really, for us, a blessing from God. So we're ready to receive from you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Werner. Greetings, saints, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Where I come from, we are so loud, we don't even need these gadgets. We can speak very loud. I'm not going to introduce myself that much. I think you have just touched my heart, and it's amazing actually to hear people talk about you. You know, in our culture, we've got this thing that we're trying to erode as quickly as we can, that we only speak about somebody when he's dead. So we're trying by all means to say to people, look, tell the person how he or she is while she can still hear and respond. So I'm greatly humbled. My wife is not with me tonight. I left her at church, and I've got two gentlemen with me, and their wives are left at church. Sabu and Douglas, these are just blessings to us as well. And I brought Sebu because I thought if there will be Khoza that is needed, he will help me. And Darky with Afrikaans, you know, yeah. We are ministering in the greatest part of Cape Town, inner city. So we're more of an inner city church, but of course we have some work in Khayelitsha and in Kraaifontein. It's just a big blessing. I'm standing here under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, but under the leadership of Pastor Fred and Lucille May, and the pastors of wonderful pastor here, and Pastor Thiens. And I'm, as he said, I'm not going to take long. I'm not sure if I'm a man of few words, but I will just share what the Lord has placed in my heart. And I hope and pray that you will receive the word of the Lord. Amen. You know, when I was coming here, the first person that I met after he asked, he just checked whether I'm the one who's going to preach. He then asked, do you have a flash that we can just put whatever you said on the screen? I thought, okay. So, unfortunately, I don't have. So, I trust that the Spirit of God will help you sharpen your ears and you just hear. And even my accent, you know, my accent. Hopefully, you're not going to miss what the Spirit of God wants to say tonight. Amen. I also like to bring people with me so that whatever I say here, they can confirm it. And then also you can have some time to interact with them and ask whatever you need to ask, even about the preacher. Amen. It's wonderful as well to see that statement, fling wide your heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen King. Now, this is exactly what the Lord has placed in my heart, to really ask the question, to ask believers and to those who are yet to believe, who is Jesus? Who is he? I think we all know that we live it in such a time that these questions get asked. This question gets asked in many ways. where we're working, in our families. If you say I've received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, in a family that doesn't believe as such, it becomes a big issue that you need to explain almost every night. What do you mean? And also, I think also it's a challenge that is even facing the body of Christ, of really defining Christ. Who is Christ? People are looking for answers. And to us who are Christians, it's a very big challenge that we must really face head on. Not fight, face. Because who Christ is can also be what I say and how I say it, but also how I live. People will get that answer of who is this Jesus. If you can just turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13 to 20. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. I'm reading from the New King James Version. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus, the Christ. Amen. And we all know that they did the very opposite. You know, it's amazing that whenever Christ has done something, healed somebody, he will then say, "You know what, just go on and praise the Lord and do whatever you have to do. But don't tell people about that." But people will be the very first thing they do after leaving Jesus, to go tell. Because I want to believe you cannot come to the Lord Jesus and remain the same. You cannot meet the Lord and still not get excited about meeting Jesus. Unless you have met a certain Jesus, not the one that I'm going to, through his words, show who he is tonight. Who is Jesus? I think this is also such a need. There's also such a need in the world to really decide who Jesus is. And I think this is probably the most important question that all of us need to answer. And I say all, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. But at the end of the day, you must answer this question. Because that's the question that will define whether you are spending time with God, eternity with God, or not. Who is Jesus? And this question was so important that Jesus asked his disciples, can you imagine walking with Jesus? I mean, you're eating with him. You are there when he does his ministry. You are preaching, you are in a preaching team with Jesus. And then one day you just turn in public and ask you, "Who do you say I am?" And I want to believe that most people could be offended. And they might leave the church, I know, believers today. If Pastor Vera were to stand here and say to you and ask this question, "Who do you say I am?" I know perhaps some will say, "Oh, there he goes. Now the ego part is just showing up. We have been just waiting for it." But it's a question that really we need to answer. It's the great question. Let's note as well the significance of the place where Jesus asked this question. He was surrounded by pagan temples. And also there was a Roman garrison nearby. Now, whoever would confess that Jesus is Lord or he's the Son of God was facing a possibility of being taken to the garrison to be killed or to be put in jail. Now we can bring that in our situation today. We are so much into that kind of a scenario. We are surrounded by all kind of people believing all kind of things, and they even say all kinds of things about Jesus. They even make movies about Jesus. And if you then stand and really proclaim who Jesus is, you're facing a possibility of being really stoned. You are called all kinds of names. So I believe that Jesus was asked this question at a relevant place for all believers today and tomorrow. That in this world, changing fast as it does, and people showing so much resentment against Christians, even in our country, that we even think of defining or redefining holy days. We are facing this question, really. These people, our government and everybody else in the world who does not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ is asking us, in one way or the other, who is this Christ? Are we prepared to really stand and say Christ is the Son of God? Are we prepared to really stand and say Jesus is the only way to God? It's amazing when we listen to the preachers nowadays. You sometimes get confused yourself as a believer after preaching, asking what was this gentleman or lady saying actually? Because all roads should lead to Calvary. Everything we say or do should point to Christ. And Jesus asked this question in this place. Again, the significance of the occasion when he asked this question. It was just immediately after some people left Jesus. Because Jesus asked for a highest commitment. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall never be my disciple. They said, this is too hard. This is serious stuff. They left. And Jesus turned to his very own. I love Jesus because, you know, he's a great leader. The super leader. The leader that doesn't look at the tithes of the church. Who will confront people so that they can grow in their relationship with him. He turned to the very own and he asked the question, after many have left you. Also, the cross was ahead. He was just on the way to the cross when he asked this question. He wanted actually to know the depth of the faith of his disciples to him. And I want to believe that even today, we are challenged to show up our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a challenge. And we can only withstand all of these pressures by the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is here as our helper. But we must be bold enough to stand even among people or even in situations where we feel that we can lose our lives if we then proclaim who Jesus is for who he is. Wow, it's so quiet here. You know, it's a challenge that is facing every Christian of any color, creed, or race. We are so now used into this diluted kind of message about our Lord Jesus Christ that it calls for us to really stand up and say, if my Lord suffered for righteousness, I will as well. Because Jesus Christ even said himself that a slave is not greater than his master. If he suffered for righteousness, we should. As we stand and answer in this question, who is this Jesus we believe in? Who is he? And then again, notice the significance of the words he spoke. He began with a general question. And then he moved to a personal question. And everyone here tonight is faced with the very same question. And I want to believe that Jesus is asking the very same question to all of us. Who do you say I am? When you get, you know, it's easy to come to church, and I always say this to our church. It's easy to come to church. It's a familiar environment. We know each other. You expect, actually, praise and worship. You expect people to lift up their hands. And if the stranger were to come here and see us lifting our hands and singing as if we were out of this world, and then were to ask you, what were you doing then? Worshipping Jesus. What do you mean, worshipping Jesus? Who is this Jesus that you are worshipping? You know, tonight, you know, I was just sharing, you know, this afternoon in our church about the kingdom. When Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. What do you understand about that? What did Jesus mean? Seek first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? You see, there are questions that we cannot run away from that we need to confront. And Jesus started with a general question and then moved to a personal question. As you're sitting there, can you really tell the world who this Jesus you believe in is? Convincingly. Can your message be so clear? Remember that also the Bible tells us that We are the letters that people read. When people see what we do and the manner in which we do it, can they really say, I need that Jesus? The way we live our marriage lives, do we really say to people, you need Jesus through your marriage and my marriage? The manner in which we raise up our children, are we saying to the world, there is Jesus, who is the Son of God, who's helping me do this great job? And again, the great answer that was given from verse 14 to 16. There are many answers, but there will always be one true answer. There are many answers. Some say you are a prophet. Maybe you are sitting here and, you know, you subscribe to that thought that, okay, Jesus was just one of the prophets. Yeah, he is a prophet. But you know what? The greatest belief system, as far as I can understand, the greatest belief system that is so dangerous to us or is an enmity of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is anyone who denies the deity of Christ. If you say Christ is just a prophet, so he's just like any other prophet. Remember that the Bible talks about false prophets as well. So if you say Jesus is a prophet, what exactly do you mean? And also, some people said, oh, you are John the Baptist. You see, did they ever see Jesus baptizing anyone? Why would they think that Jesus is John the Baptist? By the way, it was public knowledge that John the Baptist at the time was dead because his head was on a plate somewhere. But then they say, some say, and remember, these are not unbelievers who say this. These are the responses from his disciples. General question. Some say, you are John the Baptist. Just like today. Some are saying he's a rabbi. I watched on television the other time, I think it was TBN. There was this great debate in America. A rabbi and a Christian, well-educated man, you know, discussing about all of this. But many still believe that Jesus is a rabbi. And that's where it ends. And even today, some say Jesus is a guru. These are the kind of answers you get. Now he's a guru. And even people can, when they talk about God, you just hear all this kind of a man upstairs. Where? Where is a man upstairs? God is not a man upstairs. or okay, you know, we're a result of Mother Nature. We have all kinds of theories, but some would say Jesus is a guru. This is today's world. And others will say he was a great revolutionary. Was he really? Is that all you see in Jesus? And even today you can say Jesus was a great religious reformer. Did Jesus come here to reform religion? And what are the right answers? The right answer, the great answer that Peter gave. He is Christ. Jesus is Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the visible likeness of the invisible God. That's Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is the great I am. He is the one who ever said, before Abraham was, I am. In John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. We should not be ashamed to say that. I know you know the scripture very well. But the Bible said in the last days, many people will have some form of religion, but deny the power thereof. The power that is in Christ. The power that is in the gospel that is in Christ Jesus. Gospel, which means the good news about Christ. Who he is, what he is, who, what he said, and what he will come back to do. He is the Son of God. It's amazing when you see even today on television, and those of us who are privileged enough to sometimes find ourselves among politicians, how they sometimes use the scripture blasphemously when they argue their points. They are so quick to quote scripture verses now. And when you engage them, they will quickly write you off. Oh, yeah, I know one of them, you know, the Bible is just one of the books that I quote. But unless you are prepared to lose even your popularity or whatever you think you have for the sake of Christ, you cannot be the disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Unless you deny, I deny myself every day and I carry my cross and I follow him. Unless I'm prepared to suffer the sufferings of Christ. So we must just be so clear about that. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, I was confronted sometime by somebody who was saying, okay, so if the Son of God, where's the mother? Because it implies that God is the Father and there should be a mother. How do you answer those questions? Because you say, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, how do you answer those questions? But you know what I said? I said, look, do you think, is there something impossible that God cannot do? You know, sometimes it's better to answer a question by asking a question. Most of the time it works. And he could not move. He was like, I don't think there is something that is impossible to God. I said, whatever picture of God you have in your mind, your God, whatever. But I said, but let's talk about the God who created heaven and earth and everything else, who gave you this body, this nose and everything else. You didn't choose yourself. You didn't choose the color of your skin. You didn't. He just gave it to you. You didn't even choose to be here on planet earth. He just sent you here. So I'm talking about that God. Do you think you can make any mistake or there's something that God cannot do? He said, no. I said, thank you. You have just answered your question to me. God can walk through this wall. Nothing can stop him. Because he's God. Jesus did it. While his disciples were supposed to stand and really die, because Peter said, you know what? I will die where you die, Lord. It was hardly a few days when this Peter, together with his fellow brothers, locked themselves in that house, afraid to be tortured and be killed. When Jesus just walked into a closed, locked room, he just walked in. We must then say, that's the Jesus we're talking about. Come Christmas time, we're not talking about the Jesus who is in nappies and No, that's not the Jesus we're talking about. We're talking about the Jesus who defied death. He rose on the third day. We're talking about that Jesus. Who even the greatest scientist could not explain how he can just be lifted up and gone. Psh, off. We're talking about that Jesus. We're talking about the Jesus who will come and do something that nobody else did before. Meet a blind guy. What can I do for you? He told him. Maybe he was expecting the usual. But Jesus just did something. Mixed the mud. And then said, off you go. Voila, eyes open. That's the Jesus we are talking about. The Son of God. And then in verse 18, there's a great promise. He then says, I will build my church. Upon the truth that you are saying, Peter, that you now know who I am, then I will build a machine that is unstoppable. And that machine is called the church. Even the gates of hell shall never prevail against this machine. It will have to do what I set it to do. And what an honor to belong to a church like Shofar, where I know the gospel is preached undiluted. And some of you have, I know, have been sent to missions to go preaching all the kind of wonderful world out there. Preaching this Jesus. So you are part of that machine. That is unstoppable. No matter what you can face, no matter how dangerous or volatile the situation is, but if we can stand and say, in the midst of all the problems and the challenges and all the hatred, and we believe the word of God, that when he said, when the enemy comes like a flood, I will just raise up the standard. You just stand and say, Jesus is God. Nonetheless, he is God. You need him. We never experience sometimes the power and the wisdom of God until we are faced with such situations. And I want to charge you tonight to say, look, we live in Cape Town. It's a wonderful city. Various people, different beliefs and all that. And even those who are living an alternative lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, that you're not supposed to hate but love. Love them to the Lord. We have to answer this question and answer it in the manner in which Peter answered it. Then Christ will then say to you, then, upon that, I will build my church. I will use you. I will stand by you. I will never leave you nor forsake. You will be part of my plan to save mankind. But only when you start by confessing who he is, then he can use you to build his church. The church that will never be defeated. Never. You know, I'm challenging, Pastor, I'm challenging guys in our church to say, look, Let's just go out there. Let's not be concerned about building a church. That's Jesus' job. Building a church is his job. Our job has been laid down in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. We go, we share the gospel, and he will build his church. Of course, we'll teach and do everything that he said we should do. But we're not concerned about the numbers in our church. We are concerned about people getting saved and being discipled. Well, if they have to be in our church, praise the Lord. If they find our church a little bit, then we point them to another church that we know. Because Jesus is building the church. Jesus knows which church you should belong to. He knows. He knows which church will be good for you and build you up so that you can go out there and do what he said. He knows. So if you don't feel comfortable for whatever reason, you can advance. For not wanting to be part of us, fine. We'll point you to another church that we know. A church that we know. Like Shofar. Because we believe Shofar is part of this machine that Jesus was talking about. And then he said to Peter, then I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Not the keys of the church. The keys of the kingdom. Again, going back to what you were sharing. What is the kingdom? Remember that the kingdom of God is not visible. Some of us really confuse the kingdom and heaven. But Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Those are part of his kingdom. And the earth is his throne, and the heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. That's what the word God says. I mean, the guys like Paul would understand what that means. To us, it's like, hang on, what are you talking about? But the kingdom of God, if we want to understand the kingdom of God, then I suggest that you start from there, from Genesis 1, verse 1. Then we go on to really read everything and study and ask the Spirit of God to give us the spirit of revelation and understanding about all the parables that Jesus used when he described the kingdom of God, how it is and how it functions. Then we'll begin, perhaps, to understand what he meant when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto us. But the keys have been given to us, church people. We can unlock everything that God wants us to unlock. Because the keys we have. That is why you can go to any place. You share the word of God. You tell people who Jesus Christ is. And the Spirit of God will do the rest. Unlock that world. Completely. And when you have done that, you act like nothing happened. Because glory doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. I always say, you know what, when we minister with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, not faith in our ability, not faith in everything, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, he will do the results. You know, a lady came about a couple of weeks ago crying, Pastor, you know, my son has been diagnosed, he's got cancer, he's just 1 year old, he's got cancer and all that and all that. You know, I looked at her, and I said, that's what the doctors say, right? He said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. He has cancer. Then I said, what do you want me to do? Pray. Okay. Then I said, okay, let's start here. If you say this guy has got cancer, say that's what doctors say. Let's start from there. She looked at me like I'm from another planet. I said, let's start from there. That's the basis from which our faith is going to move. That's what the doctors say. And she knew that there's a bad coming. But we're going to believe the report of the Lord. Right? The report of the Lord says, by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed. So healing was signed, sealed, and delivered on Calvary for us. And then I prayed, and then I said, listen, this guy is clear. He doesn't have cancer. He's going to grow up to become a strong man and all and serve the Lord, and that's it. Do you believe that? She said, yes. I said, go, and never again tell me that this child has got cancer. Some people think that I'm rough. I'm trying by all means to emulate Christ. Would you imagine Christ heals you and then he doubts? Some people need a little bit of a pushing, really, to see a miracle. You are healed, right? You are healed, okay? You are healed. Confess, 10. Confess, I'm healed. Go. Healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. When he tries to look back, but hey, they know but. Go, you're healed. And she came back to say, wow, Pastor, this is a, well, I can't believe this. He is cleared and all that. I said, you know what? I would have been, this is not surprising. And she's like, why aren't you celebrating, Pastor? I said, what must I celebrate? I mean, I said to her, I would be surprised if Jesus didn't heal him. That would be a shock. Healing to him is just natural. So if I believe Jesus, and I believe what the word says, then I must not be surprised when he is healed. I don't doubt. When I pray, I don't doubt. That's why I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me how to pray, Pastor. Because I can pray that this lady can turn white, and she can now. No, I'm kidding. She's looking at me like, you don't do that. But of course, we must pray the will of the Lord. Whatever I pray must be in line with the scriptures. God is not performing my word or your word, but his word. He's watching over his word to perform it. Amen. And in conclusion, I really trust that the Lord is speaking to some people here to really change the way we believe, the way we do things, the way we interact with the world. We don't have much time in this world. We don't. And sometimes I like to shake the people who are 30 plus, just to shake them a little bit, up to 50, 60, 70. You know, if you're 60, and many people are 60, many of them have less than 20 years here. Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it? Many of them have less than 20 years left if you are 60. Many. So we don't have time to waste. We don't. If you are 30, well, you might have another 30. You might. You might. But that's not a long time. I can vividly remember when I was 30. And looking at the mirror, I see a different species on that mirror. But I still love that which I see on the mirror. I'm not sure about my wife, if she loves what she sees in front of her. But anyway, she's still with me after 20 or 23 years or so. Yes, sir. One wife. Just one. in case you think it's an African thing, just one. It's not an African thing. I guess it's a human thing. Solomon was not an African. Okay. But we all need to come to this place of really, really, really answering this question and unashamedly confess Christ. Unashamedly. He said himself, if you are ashamed of me in front of people, I will be in front of my Father. I'm asking you to really take Jesus on his word. He said, when two of you come together and agree on anything touching his kingdom, whatever you ask, you have asked a lot of intelligent people. I've asked them to describe to me whatever. I've gone to Oxford Dictionary and an Australian Dictionary looking for whatever. Whatever. What does whatever mean? And with all of my foolish research, I've come to this note, whatever means whatever. And if Jesus said, whatever, I ask, I just need one or two guys that agrees on the word of God, and whatever we ask, it shall be given to us, it shall be done. Then you are more than three here. We can do a great change in the city. We can open the gates for the great king to come in. We do have the keys in our hands. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who we confess, profess, declare, and announce tonight that he is the Son of God, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for making us part of this machine called the church. Thank you, Lord, for changing our destiny forever. We were in the kingdom of darkness, but now we're in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of your marvelous Son. The one who was, who is, and is to come. Lord, I pray for the spirit of boldness. As we have just sang, Lord, earlier on, that we should not fear, because you are with us. Indeed, O God, we believe your word, and we, Holy Spirit of God, we trust you, that you will make us fearless people when it comes to proclaiming who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And we exalt him in this town. On the highest points of this town, we exalt Christ. On the lowest valleys of this town, we exalt Christ. On the entry gates of this town, we exalt Christ. And every soul in this town, Lord, we pray and we point them to Jesus Christ, who is the King, and who is God, the preeminence over all creation. And Lord, here we are as believers, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, share the same DNA in Christ. We are prepared, Lord, to stand up and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, in this town, our city, Cape Town. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Can I just ask the band to please come up for us, please? What I want us to do, this is really a word in season, Pastor Nsiki. We spoke a lot in our church, especially with the leadership and also Shofar globally. We spoke a lot about blocked wells. Some of you will recall that theme. And some of us really needs the reopening of your spiritual well. Some of us are called to speak a prophetic word, but it's like there's a stone over the well, so now this water giving, this water that can give life is blocked by the stone. But some of us are called to be evangelists in this town, but the evangelists are especially silenced in Cape Town because of this thing. And in Romans 1 verse 16 it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And I think, even unto myself, I was praying through this a lot, that there's in my own life a lot of wells that is really blocked. But if it's okay with you, Pastor Nsiki, I would like you and your gentlemen to come and stand here. And then while we sing this song, if you feel that you especially one of those people that's called to speak the gospel in this town. And I'm not inviting everyone. I'm inviting you if you feel that you are someone that must speak. Maybe I'm speaking to the evangelists and the prophets in this place, but you are not speaking because there's maybe a rock or something that's closing your mouth. So it's like you know you've got this gift, but you're not flowing in it. Then I want you to come, and I want these gentlemen just to take the oil, anoint you, speak life over you, and you go out that side again. So we make a train. And then we can just sing any song. And then just respond to that on your own time. That is just a ministry for tonight. If you need to be unblocked, make your way. And we're going to trust this gentleman. Just as we symbolically ask him to put oil on us. That at the moment, God will just really lift whatever is on us that's inhibiting us. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. Let's worship the Lord. You can stand.